is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Now special dedication to all dogs of dogs, dedicated to all top dogs, liberty crew. Man called Tony Kemp, man called Robert, and while Apache riding through. Curfew! Sometimes I'm back, some of them are rally.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by Burger King, City of Hope, Epic Battery, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, KFC, Muffler World, Naughty Johnny's, Prince Masters, Sandcastle Bahamas, and Tropical Jared.
That if I Bellevue you come from, we're sending you go back, cause with them they are when they get around art. When we're looking the food for the part, man, I'm
going back. Why didn't you buy this?
We have a rampacker. When we move in, we move compact. Man, we take a couple store, couple bank and shopper. And policeman, I talk about we hotter. Judge, I know we have to run left this part.
You've got it locked and loaded to the Tuesday, August 12th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. As you know, today is Tuesday. Each and every Tuesday, they got the Grand Bahama Report in The Guardian. All right, the awesome supplement each and every Tuesday. We will be discussing all things Grand Bahama on the flip side of the break with Sarah Kirkby. I think Darren Cooper may chime in. So we'll have the conversation with them on the flip side of the break. But like I say, each and every Tuesday we go live to Grand Bahama. And once we get that out of the way, I will open up the lines so you can chime in. And we got lots to talk about, boy. Lots to talk about in addition to what's going on in Grand Bahama. And if you want to chime in and be part of the conversation, here's how.
Here's how you can become a talking head. Brought to you by BTC.
Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Phone lines open in New Providence, 323-325-4259, 325-4316. Toll free and anyone in the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh new smart talk all day right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. All right, now we got that out of the way. Like I said, we got lots to talk about. On the flip side of the break, we'll get down and find out all things going on in Grand Bahama. Then I'll open up the lines. But like I said, it has been quite the Tuesday. And big part of the conversations going on all day long are the headlines.
It's time for Headliners. Everything that's making headlines in the 242. Brought to you by the Fine Threads.
This was blazing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian News and Views of Matter since 1844. All brought to you, of course, by Fine Threads. And more from the crime scene. Two in custody in connection with double murder. Junkanooa support bill. And this, the latest update from the Junkanoo soap opera here in the 242. At the government's first public consultation for the National Junkanoo Authority of the Bahamas bill on Monday morning, Junkanoo has widely stood in support of the bill, but questioned the future of the Junkanoo Corporation of the Bahamas, JCNP, and called for officials to provide clarity on the role the corporation will play if the bill is enacted. The National Junkanoo Authority of the Bahamas, oversee the organization, promotion, and development of Junkanoo across the country, has been met with major backlash from the JCNP, which has managed parades in New Providence for two decades. So we'll keep an eye on that. Minister of Youth, Sports, and Culture, Mr. Mario Bailey, says the government still wants feedback from the JCNP, which is good. Take in all sides before you make a final decision. If you are, there's a very interesting story here. Wheelchair-bound teen walks. Nathan Bandelier, 19, graduated Alternative Learning Institute on June 17th when he walked during the ceremony. Bandelier, an honor student who is wheelchair-bound pending corrective surgery, said it felt like he had finally overcome the hurdle. The teen was diagnosed with a rare neurological disorder, Guillain-Barré syndrome. at age 16, a condition in which the body's immune system attacks the nerves and can cause weakness, numbness, or paralysis. His joints at his hips and thighs fused, which left the team with no range of motion and wheelchair bound, and in need of total hip replacement, which would allow him to become mobile again. Well, congratulations to him, man. Awesome. Good stuff, Nathan. We rooting for you. And continued success with your scholastic career, because you seem like you did well in school as well, too. All right. We will be getting to Grand Bahama in short order. Some more headlines. Marine charged with cruelty to children and indecent assault. A Royal Bahamas Defense Force Marine drill instructor accused of physically and sexually abusing boys attending the Rangers camp in Eleuther has been granted $15,000 bail. Joshua Cox, 26, stood before Assistant Chief Magistrate Carolyn Vogt Evans, charged with 7 counts of cruelty to children and 2 counts of indecent assault. Cox's alleged victims range in age from 11 to 19. The incidents allegedly took place between June 30th and July 19th. Cox is not required to enter pleas to the charges because he will be tried in the Supreme Court. So we'll keep an eye on that. See how that one pans out. A lot of people are going to keep an eye on that one. All right, let's get to the break. On the flip side of the break, we'll get down to Grand Bahama. We'll touch base with Sarah Kirkby from the Grand Bahama News. We'll find out all things going on in Grand Bahama. And once we've wrapped up with Sarah, we'll open up the lines and we'll talk Junkanoo. We'll talk crime. We'll talk a lot of things that need to be talked about. The cost of living, the BPL bill, my God. And Texas, I'll get to your texts all on the flip side of the break. So keep it right where you got it. The Tuesday, August 12th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Judge, I know we have to run left this part. Dan Daya, when we come dance, all of a block. Mr. Summer rally back, and some of them dance back. We are road boy, out and we now left it. Summer rally back, and some of them dance back. When it at the place, and the place of a block. With them there, when Kingston run out. When we look in the food.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Ooh, it's close up.
If you set people's teeth on edge every time you step on the brakes, it's time you visit Muffler. Brake rotors off, and if there's anything left, machine them shiny. Then their technicians will install new pads, and before you know it, you'll be able to stop without people calling social service on you.
John, I'm trying to hit my car. Children in the car.
Muffler World can replace the whole package, including hoses, master cylinders, and more. First-class brake work. Stop by Muffler World on Mackey Street. Open Saturdays, 8 till noon.
Long day? Hungry crew? Say less and satisfy everyone with KFC's Summer Buckets. Grab a super summer bucket and get 8 juicy pieces of fried chicken, 8 nuggets, corn, our new white rice with gravy, 4 buttery biscuits, 4 switch of pink lemonades, and 4 dessert biscuits. So whether it's on the beach, at home, or chilling with the crew, KFC's Summer Buckets starting at just $20 bring all the flavor. Summer with KFC. It's finger licking good.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John's Shoes.
Now special dedication to all dogs of dogs, dedicated to all top dogs, Liberty Crew. Man called Tony, kept man called Robert, and while Apache riding through. Curfew! Sometimes a back of some of them a rally back. We a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. Sometimes a back of some of them a rally back. But we a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a jailhouse you come from, we sending you go back. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a Bellevue you come from, we sending you go back. Cause with them there when they get around.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, August 12th edition of Talking Heads. 4:20 p.m. is the time, my favorite time of day. And we're back at you on Talking Heads. Let me get to the phone lines real quick. Before we get to Sarah Kirkby down there in Grand Bahama, let's get to the text lines. Good day, Naughty. The JCNP will be a sitting duck. There will be no place in Junkanoo for them. Good afternoon, Naughty. The majority of Junkanooers support the new movement. Well, there you have it. But we'll see. We got to hear from the JCNP as well, too, because everybody said nothing. So we would like to hear from them. But we are into the buzz, all brought to you, of course, by John's Shoes. And don't forget, John's both locations got you ready for back to school. So be sure to check them out, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. All right? And let's get down to Grand Bahama. We got the Grand Bahama News each and every Tuesday has that supplement in The Guardian. Let's touch base with Sarah Kirkby from the Grand Bahama News. Sarah, what's going on?
Hey, darling. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
I love that this is your favorite part of the day.
No, the time, 4:20, any day of the week, 4:20 is my favorite time of the day.
I thought talking to me was your favorite part of the time of the day.
No, not at all. Don't take yourself that serious. Not at all. I hate to tell you, you're way down on the list on importance of the day.
Oh, jeez.
That's 4:20 p.m. Monday through Sunday. At 4:20 p.m. is my favorite time of the day.
All right,
so
gotcha.
I need to clarify it.
All right.
So bring us up to snuff what's going on down there in Grand Bahama, man. Still a lot of cries for the airport. I got some questions regarding that, but I'm going to let you get all your pieces of your segment out.
Okay.
And then airport.
Well, obviously the biggest thing is Grand Bahama Airport, uncertainty, cast shadows of a resort revival. So basically, you know, we understood from a previous article we had written a couple weeks ago that they were no longer taking reservations at the hotel. We now think maybe they're going to be open a little bit longer based on the comment that ZNS had covered from the Concord Wilshire spokesperson, who said that they were also waiting for an update on the airport. So, it was managing partner Adam Pucciello, who's in the paper today. So this is what our story is about, and it's feedback from the chamber president requesting for an update from the government, and also comments from the opposition as well on this, and local people and what they have to say. I mean, obviously, Shivago referred to it earlier in his show, or someone called in as well. It is obviously a huge bone of contention, or everybody thinks about it all the time. I mean, it's what everybody talks about, what's happening with the airport, what's happening with the hotel. You know, so we're all looking for real-time updates. We're not quite there, and everybody would like to know what's going on. What is the plan, you know, with everything happening here? It seems to be, you know, the airport is the holdup, and we don't have an update on that. As you know, you're waiting to put that suit and tie on so we can talk about it.
All right. So no airport, obviously airport, no money moving. So the money ain't hit the bank yet. So basically it was a grandiose photo op. It was a great photo opportunity and nothing more, nothing less, because we still have no airport. We still have no resort deal down in Grand Bahama, correct?
I can't say that about the, it was a photo op. I believe the hotel brand is taking over the hotel. I think. I cannot say that 100%, but that's what I understand. It's just, I don't know what their timeline is to start work. And then the other plans haven't been, you know, we don't know, are they going to shut down? We haven't had any communication. We haven't had any from Concord Wilshire.
The statement today says, you know, from, and you did the story on it, Concord Wilshire, Capital Senior Managing Director now of Cruise Ship Resorts. Notice they slid in Cruise Ship Resorts after the deal was done, because that was never in the initial title. But Adam Pertrello said the redevelopment of Grand Bahama's airport will determine the schedule for completion for the Grand Resort. There are challenges because we are still waiting for the airport to evolve. Petrello told ZNS News during a recent event in Miami, Florida. So in order to bring all the capital to the table for various pieces of this particular hospitality sector, we need to know timelines as to when things will start, and that will begin to determine the schedule for completion. So that's a nice fair saying. We don't have an airport. You get no money, and this can sit here until we can figure it out.
Yeah, and but I will correct you on one part. They did talk, they might not have said his title that way, but they did talk about a cruise aspect when they launched it. They did say that it would be, there would be a cruise element to the area, basically, I think, where the Lucayan is, and it would be a beach, like a like how they used to have it years ago, where the Red Boat used to bring people into Port Lucaya. They seem to refer to that side, sort of element would be part of it together with golf, boating, yachts, timeshare, casino, and everything else. But again, it seems now that it's on hold until the airport deal is sorted out. And we don't know what the airport deal is because we haven't had a proper update and we don't
know. We got to ask questions, Sarah. When you look at our news, Bahamas, on July 25th, they ran the story. The $827 million set of the Grand Lucayan Resort is moving forward with new ownership set to take over on August 15th. But today's August 12th, 2025. All right?
Yep. Yeah.
New ownership set to take over on August 15th, 2025. Today is August 12th. You really think in 3 days they're going to get this deal done? And my next question is, how much longer is the resort actually going to be open? What's going on with the workers down there? How much in limbo are they? Do they have a closure date? Or are they just working, waiting to get the two-week letter saying we can close in 2 weeks? Where are they?
We don't know. That's the other part. And that's what I know the opposition has been asking. But we have not been given any information. I mean, like I said, we've had no communication. There's been no press release, no update from the corporate company itself to anybody. Actually, from any of the brands. So there is, you know, I'd love to give you an update, but I've got not. So it's really all speculative. And if you look in the paper today, we do have an ad that there are career opportunities at the Grand Lucayan. So I presume they are staying open a little bit longer. But I'm just guessing because we don't know.
And they're not giving you an official statement, correct?
No, we have no official statement. The only statement that we have, when we found out about them not taking reservations was only because Barbara called and tried to check at the front desk, and that's how she knew. And then how we know about this was from the Z&S story that appeared in the on, I think it was last week, it was in the, and we were all like, oh, okay, now this is, you know, because we understood it was, you know, we thought like you, August 15th, 90 days afterwards we shut down and they were going to start building. So we don't know anything and we haven't had an update, and that's basically what our chamber president is asking for in his statement, that it is, you know, he would like to have an update from the government and know what's going on.
I would like to know where that $400 million allocation went that was lined up and earmarked for the Grand Bahama Airport. Why is that not moving and making it up, making things happen down there?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's necessary. We've got to have it. We need it for all aspects of everything that's going on. You know?
All right. What's the next story you got for us, Sarah?
We have a wonderful story about a Grand Bahama artist who's featured, whose work was featured at the Diaguler, is it the Diaguler Arts? I have to say it, the Diaguler Art Foundation.
Yeah, so she was featured. Foundation, that's correct.
Yes. So she had her artwork there. It was a thing called For Those Who Roam. It was an art exhibition last week. So we featured Brittany in that, and beautiful work that she's done, and nice for a Grand Bahamian. I believe another person from Bimini was also there besides a NASA artist. So just nice to be included and great to show that the artwork is, you know, her artwork is doing well. And, you know, I'm very much about artists in our community. So it's great.
All right. We got another story coming regarding the port, correct? From the Port Talk?
Yeah, Port Talk. So they were in Vegas at a big event. So they have put this story in about their work there and all again about promoting the island, pushing the island and bringing investors to the island, which is, you know, their job as part of the Port Authority. That's what they do. So they're supposed to promote the island. So there's a great story today about them in Vegas. I think they were very happy with their trade show experience there. And it was covered in both of the papers today as well. We had a story about the Chamber Community Breakfast Series. They're doing a They were doing a men's health, and next week, I believe this weekend, is the women's health segment. So it's a story about that and the chamber really getting involved in the community. We had a story that's dear to your heart and mine, an influx of puppies at the Humane Society, and with Tip Burrows, who runs it there, is really urging people at the moment to adopt and not to buy pets. They were, I think, if I'm remembering from the article, over 40 pets came in last week or the week before, and they were just overwhelmed. These were people that had just couldn't handle the pets and gave them up. They were litters of puppies, quite a lot, that were given to them that were not adopted. And so now they're really funded. So, you know, this is, they're trying to be a no-kill shelter. So it's a good read today, but it's a very sad situation, and really encouraging people to spay and neuter their animals, but also not to breed, because, you know, there's so many animals that are available to adopt.
Yeah, I if you can't adopt rather than purchase, you know, and do yourself that favor, you get awesome pets. Rescues are always great pets.
Yeah, they are. And so it's really encouraging, especially if, you know, if people who are breeding and then they don't sell them, and then they just, well, I can't afford to keep them. So they're, you know, just dropping them off at the Humane Society for them to take care of. It's a big thing. We also had, we had talked about this numerous times with you. We had an issue here with chumming in the water and allegations, and it's come up again. It was on social media over the weekend, and so there's a story concerning that and the UNEXO diving boat that were basically have, the post said that they were chumming in the water while divers were below with Sun Odyssey. So it's a little story about
not,
that.
That's not a good idea. That's not a good equation right there. Chumming while divers are in the water?
No, and this is a dive center that is, you know, well known for setting up the shark dives that initially started in the Bahamas. So it's a little bit disturbing. They've had an allegation before. We unfortunately had a lady last year who was bitten. So it talks about her, Heidi Ernest, a 73-year-old, though I thought she was 83, but 73. And it's talking about that area in Shark Junction. And, you know, obviously when the sharks hear the boat, they know they're going to be fed, because that's part of the dive feeding area that they go down and dive and feed. My son, ages ago, my sister flew in one time to do it and loved the experience, a very controlled environment. But you can't have them chumming on the water above, causing a frenzy for the people that are diving below. You know, so it's a very, very regulated, very protected area. And we need to protect it, because one bad incident and it ruins you for tourism, right?
Indeed. And you don't want to do that.
Which leads us to the worst thing that happened at the airport last week, were three women fighting in the international airport. And so that was even worse. So... Not a very proud week. So we call them, these are both eyesores for us this week. Three women got into a fist fight in the international airport, and the tourists had to be hiding, and you can see it in the video. And three men had to go in and break it up, trying to break it up, and obviously got, you know, attacked a little bit physically. He even noted that the security did not help him. So this was not a good story. But we wanted to
maybe
share.
Maybe they beat the security also.
Just saying, I was really saddened. I was like, "Come on, guys! This is the time where Grand Bahama is doing, you know, well. Celebration Key is this big event for us. It's doing well. We've got other projects on the ball. This is not the time to be doing this. You know, really not. It's very sad."
All right, sir. Well, I appreciate you chiming in this week and getting us all caught up to snuff with what's going on in Grand Bahama.
Thank you. Thank you for the time, and, you know, anything you guys can do to put pressure on to get us that airport, we need it. I know we harp on about it, but we're not asking for the Taj Mahal. We're just asking for a good airport that people can go to, and a conveyor belt again, and picking it up, so because we need more airlift with everything that's happening, as we've talked about.
Yep, and let's get Grand Bahama back to where it needs to be, and part of that is having an effective, efficient airport. So, yeah, we'll continue to talk about it and make noise about it, and hopefully they'll get you the airport that you need. We'll do it again next week, Sarah. Appreciate you chiming in, as always.
Thank you.
And have a great rest of the week down there in Grand Bahama.
All right, thank you so much. You too.
All right, we'll get to the break. Flip side of the break. We'll open up the lines and chime on in. Anything you guys want to talk about is fair game. Whatever's got your goat, whatever's in your craw, whatever's running you hot, we'll chop it up on the flip side of the break as the Tuesday, August 12th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this. Some a rally back and some of them dance back. When it at the place and the place of a black out. Where them there when Kingston run hot. When we look in the food for we pot. Kingston with there when my sub get. Kingston with there when copper get. Kingston with there when a bird get. Man a Kingston with there when a cow get. Duck and when him lick down flatter. Not him again lick down flat. Jungle man spangle a rima man did hotter. You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hear that? That's not just a crunch. It's the sound of flavor turning up. Introducing the Doritos Kentucky Chicken Sandwich, a delicious combination of KFC's juicy original recipe, extra large filet, stacked with real Doritos nacho cheese chips for a loud, cheesy crunch in every bite. It's bold, it's crunchy, and it's only $8.95. Everyone's chasing the crunch. Don't be the one who missed it. KFC and Doritos, a crunch that's finger-licking good.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancer.
We're still here. Since 1941, the Armory Company has been your trusted partner and one-stop solution for all your business and technology needs. From printers to copier leasing, point of sale to cloud video surveillance, and access control to ATMs, we've got it all. And we ship to all family islands. Call our dedicated customer service team now at 397-1600 or visit us behind Wendy's on Mackey Street. An experience excellence that stands the test of time. The Armory Company. Your success is our business.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Now special dedication to all dogs of dogs, dedicated to all top dogs, liberty crew. Man called Tony Kip, man called Robert, and while apart to ride and show. Curfew! Sometimes a back of some of them a rally back. We a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. Sometimes a back of some of them a rally back. But we a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a jailhouse you come from, we sending you go back. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a Bellevue you come from, we sending you go back. Cause with them there when they get a run out. When we look in the food for the pot. Man of
yo, no time back. Why didn't you buy this?
We have a rampart. When we move in, we move compact. Man, we take a couple store, couple bank and shop.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, August 12th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. Phone lines are open. And I want to know what you guys buzzing on. What's got your goat? What's in your craw? Text lines are open, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Phone lines open in New Providence. 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316. Toll free to anyone in the family on is 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. And you can stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. All right, let me check text lines. Maybe they want to surprise us, Naughty. It's the PM's post-birthday celebration. Ah, boy. What's going on with social media, though? And, you know, I always got to do my due diligence and check because, like, we have established Bahamians, we like to lie on social media. But what's going on? All kind of voice notes swirling from disgruntled PLP supporters. With allegations of cocktailing too much and mental instability, and we shouldn't take light of any of those situations, because we do have a lot of Bahamians that suffer from drinking problems and mental issues. Mental health is a serious issue in this country. So it shouldn't be taken light. And obviously, if someone in public office is showing the signs of it, they should be given the help they need. Shouldn't be made a joke of or, you know, talked up on, especially if it's not true. And a lot of people like to jump on social media and ride it like a wave. But there's also an old saying where there's smoke, there's fire, and these allegations just won't go away. So we got to keep an eye on it, see how it plays out. Because eventually, you know, once it hit the streets, it will get out. Around in silly season, that it's just going to be personal attacks, nothing on policy, nothing on solution, nothing on positive change for Bahamians. For what about, you know, not making Bahamians feel displaced in their own country, putting Bahamians first, dealing with a lot of the issues we talk about on this show every day, from the cost of living to the cost of BPL to crime to immigration to mental health. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg, and there's so much more we could talk about. Is that what we're doing? Losing focus on the real issues that need the pertinent issues? And we're going to get focused on the slapping up? Haven't we focused on the slapping up for too many years and past election cycles, and this is where it's gotten us? Maybe we need to focus on different things and the changes we actually need to see happen and made, rather than the, you know, for what I call, a lack of a better word, you know, political WWE fest. Because it's like a bad episode of the WWE, if you ask me. Let me be quite honest with you. And I think we need to see that change. We need to see, you know, a move from where we are to where we go. And if we want better, we have to do better. No, I'm not talking about any attendance at anybody's party or anything like that. I didn't go to any political function, so I don't know who had crowd or who didn't have crowd. But y'all don't worry about crowd, you know. Crowd will fool you for every time. Okay? I always tell people, don't put no faith in no crowd. All right? Plenty other things you can keep your eye on, but crowd, don't worry about crowd. Because I'll tell you, plenty of people got a yellow shirt in their trunk, a red shirt in their trunk, and a black shirt in their trunk, and they got Tupperware. So they'll go to any function and get food, tote, and leave. They don't care. We love to socialize first and foremost. That's the problem. We focus on party instead of the party and what their message is. And then 5 years later, we wake up and say, wow, what had happened? Yeah. So we got to do better in that regard for sure. Very interesting headline in the Tribune today. Murder, fraud, and a fight over diamonds. Sounds like a Netflix special. You gotta really watch how this one plays out. Because this continues to drag out. Very interesting, you know? And what's your take? All right, let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, Nardi, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on?
I think one is issue with this murder, because, you know, well, a lot of the people them who was getting murdered is on bail.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories, and I've heard a lot of young men express that they look at, you know, the bail and having an ankle monitor as being considered a death sentence.
But I heard people trying to associate that issue with the police in terms of how they're able to find these people. But I don't think that's
pure speculation.
Right. That's not a fact. The position is that whenever you give a person a bail, the person have to be able to satisfy the bail by signing in their location.
Listen, I hear your point, caller. And there's a lot of speculation out there, but what you have to look at too, though, is if Joe Blow was known to be wearing his monitor on E Street at 9 a.m.
I think it's the monitor
on E Street at 9:20. How do they know Joe Blow is there?
the people could watch him from that area and see Regan and track him. But if the bail conditions were predicated on relocating, I think that would solve a lot of problems. Relocating. So if you have a bail,
so you mean then you're proposing that when they come out on bail, they relocate to a different area?
Right, because in the same area, he have to go to the same station to sign it. So only just watch that person when he come out of that station, follow him V-guy. But if he
can relocate, you don't think that?
So let me say Exuma. Say he got to go Exuma, and he have to sign an Exuma. The person that you know, the person will know V, yes, unless he want to be found. He or she, who it is, want to be found.
Carter, you sound like you little old school like me, man. And you and I both know, in this country, if bad man want to try to track you down and find you, they eventually going to find you, man. So,
But I do
agree with you that if you're going to come back into a hotbed, which is your old neighborhood, and you have a lot of people looking to do vigilante justice because you're back home, maybe you should go to a different area. Maybe there should be some... like how they have in the States, what they call halfway houses. They come out from prison to parole to the halfway house, then back into society.
You'll do something. We got to do something that's ridiculous. We have to find some solution to mitigate against this onslaught of murder.
I agree with you there because I think at the end of the day we have to have faith in our legal system, our justice system, and we need to be able to send people before the courts to find justice. You never want to see extrajudicial killings involving the police force or vigilante justice involving the society. You don't ever want to see society get to that point. So I think we have to take all of those things into consideration what we're looking at now and emphasize the changes that we need too. Our judicial system, sentencing guideline reforms, you know, we need to close the loopholes in certain laws that allow people to walk with a slap on the wrist. We have to look at all of that. But yeah. I think we do need to make those changes because we're losing far too many young men over the last 20, 30 years between the ages of 18 and 30, and it's getting younger. If you notice the situation over the weekend, all ages between 16 and 22.
You all questions them who are going inside. I want to come out to try to make a difference, but because of what he was in for, and he got scurried back in his neighborhood. I mean, it's a death sentence. I mean, we need to look at gameplay as an option of relocating and being able to satisfy their bail condition. But you can't keep it.
Especially if they're trying to embrace all the rehabilitation that they received while incarcerated to come out and not be a repeat offender. They should be allowed to try and do that and not be put in an environment where it's going to make them reoffend.
Yeah, I that's my point.
Good stuff, Carl. I appreciate it, man. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk again soon. Let me get to the text lines. Naughty, they put this country on the world map for corruption. Who's they, though, text? To be a little more specific for me. Many people didn't know about the Bahamas. Okay, until the PLP had a nation for sale on NBC. The PFP says too straight, what they should say is two straight rides to the dump. Wow, y'all in rare form on a Tuesday. Y'all in Friday form on a Tuesday. Good afternoon, Naughty. They're trying to force, I bet you, a six-pack they will destroy Junkanoo. They will put all the corrupt cronies on the board and friends and homies. By the way, pay us for all the work we've done throughout the years. Nothing working in this country, not even Junkanoo. Oh, Lord. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Man, not even one at all. My stomach just nodded. You know, for somebody to say not even Junkanoo working, Naughty?
Wait, that's hateful, boy.
Wait, that's that means we need fiction. We broke other people, but like somebody walk on us or something, boy.
Chicken sauce, boiled fish, and stew conch anger remedy hangover no more. That's what's next.
You understand, but Naughty, what I called and I wanted to hear you, and I MJ in there today.
MJ will be on tomorrow and Friday, man. I'll make sure I let him know, you know. You all want him
Well, something I'd like for you and MJ to look into and come back to We the Public where it is. Under, I think, Mr. Ingram's tenure, the FNM would have came up with this policy about, they used to call it the gun court. But I don't think that's what the legislation was called. But I do remember when Mr. Ingram passed this legislation where if you were caught with a firearm, you got like 5 years automatic, and I think it's like a year for every bullet or something like that. Well, it is to my understanding and to my belief that the succeeding administration, which would have been Mr. Christie, I just want to say in the two party form, the PLP subsequently came back after that and rescinded that policy, and gun violence went out of control again and has not been brought under control since then. When that policy, talking about fellas was burying them guns, they was throwing away them guns, they was trying to find something to do with them guns because they didn't want to be found or caught with those guns. But for political mileage, the PLP campaigned on it, and when they came to office, they rescinded the policy, and gun violence became a plague to us all over again. I'd like for you and MJ to look into it. We can do something naughty about the gun violence that we're experiencing in our country. We just need leaders that got the cojones to do it. And I want you to consider it. When you're looking at some of these grassroots constituencies in terms from a political standpoint, it's persons in those kinds of communities that find themselves on the wrong side of the law as a result of gun violence. And so if your party, per se, campaigns on being the party of the poor, that's a problem for you. And so we need to put the politics even beyond it.
But now,
something can be done.
I mentioned it several times, and I'll talk to MJ about it, and obviously we'll take into consideration what you said. But off the top, I think we need judicial reform in the form of sentencing guidelines.
What I want to add to that, Naughty, please, whether you and MJ, let's discuss the death penalty in our country. I'm of the opinion, as a Bahamian, that it's not that we cannot execute the death penalty. I have been made to understand that hanging has been outlawed as a form of barbaric execution of the death penalty, and therefore we would need to revise our legislation and modernize it with one of the more modern forms of executing the death penalty. It's not that we cannot execute the death penalty.
Here's your crux, though, caller. Yeah, we can. We could execute it, using the hanging method, but that's been deemed inhumane. Now here's the crux. The electric chair and lethal injection have now been deemed inhumane. One, the electric chair because of, faults that they've seen over the years with executions involving the electric chair. And obviously lethal injection now with issues with the drugs. So obviously if we can get it right, then we have to look at having a death penalty. But we got to get it right. There's many bases to cover, many eyes and keys to that.
They're getting it right with resolving. If you're resolved to an issue has to be gun violence, then you must understand that the resolve is going to be your life. And because that is not currently the system that we have, I believe that is why it is so easy for not just young people, but any individual
You jump lanes on me because we was talking about the death penalty. I expressed my opinion on the death penalty. Now you want to talk about gun violence in the situation out there. Look at concealed carry permits for businessmen and
No. And I say no right away, Naughty, because I would love for it. But I say no right away because I believe that before we could get to conceal and carry, we need to clean up the system first, or else we'll end up with chaos.
The system has to be cleansed. I give you that. The system has to be cleansed. But I mean, why don't we look to like, some people have reached out to me and say, Naughty, we need a level playing field because I'm a businessman. I have to close three businesses in the nights before I go home. If they come for me, by the time I dig in my trunk to get my license shotgun, I'm a dead man.
No. Well, we got to clean up. We have to clean up this illegal culture of gun violence first and foremost. Then I think we can systematically get to conceal and carry.
That's a good conversation for another day, man. We might have that conversation too as well. Good stuff.
Right,
I got to get to these other calls, man. But always good to hear from you, man. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty, how you doing?
What's going on, Big Jeff?
Right here, my brother, right here. Very interesting conversation just now. You know, the sad part about this whole thing is sometimes when you look at a whole lot of things going on in this country, some of us are now deeming this as deliberate acts. there's no true intention to clean up anything in the country. Because of some of these issues that even our parents have been talking about for decades, and still there's no resolve, it goes to tell you that there's no true intention of anything, you know, of being resolved. I mean, as simple as you talk about, you're putting a Band-Aid over a gashing wound, when you could just go ahead and do the surgery and stitch up the wound one time, once and for all. It may be painful at first to do it all one go, instead of patch, hoping that your patches is going to fill the gap in order to, for the wound to be healed. We are playing around in this country, and we got to call it for what it is. These parliamentarians have no true intention to pass any law, any worthwhile law, to solve most of the issues that people have been talking about over the decades. Article 7 is another one. I'm just bringing this as an example. We've been talking about Article 7 and the vagueness of how some people say the vague language used, and it can mean this and mean that. Come on, get serious. Deal with Article 7, get straight to it, make it clear-cut, as clear-cut as possible, close to what it is that the people want to see, and then we can get Article 7 off the table. These guys are not serious, okay? This, remember, in my closing remarks, only two sets of people really benefit from the system being as it is, you know, and the number one are lawyers. Okay, let's get very serious here. There
great
is
point
no
there, Jeff,
on
that.
In solving nothing in this country unless we as Bahamian people truly amass in numbers and they make the demand in numbers. They say majority rule, but majority does not rule in this country. Only one time during elections. Outside of that, our voices are unheard. Anyway, that's my conversation. That's my comments for the day.
Good stuff, Jeff. Appreciate you as always. Let me check the text lines real quick before we get to the break, Mr. Producer. Good afternoon, Naughty. I wish Bahamas Air and or the government would update the public on the matter of the flight attendant who was wanted by the Haitian police for allegedly transporting the 100,000 into Haiti. We ain't forget. We're going to have to ask a few questions, make a few calls, but, you know, y'all bringing out all the stuff out of the woodworks today. Naughty, remember the talk show? I have a copy of the new Junkanoo bill. The spokesman of the OPM on Saturday on ZNS. Please, somebody, please stop the Saxons from winning these two. Now, I see you barking up the wrong tree here. I'm not even reading any more of these texts. You are. To quote my late great friend, who used to call me his mulatto brother, Mr. Rodney Moncur, you texter are not saved. You don't text me nothing bad but the Saxons. You are not saved. Go in the corner and say three Hail Marys and four Acts of Contrition and ask God to forgive you. Naughty, tell that caller the gun smugglers are protected. Why do you think they never crack any gun smuggling rings, no matter who the COP is? They are protected just like the shantytown owners. Naughty, no concealed carry guns because we would never fix the system. It would be like sending your kids to private school because you don't want to put them in the public school system. I'd love to hear from Joe Public. See, that's what we need to do, though. We need to have conversations like this. Agree to disagree, but find a common ground so we can get a solution that works. Good stuff, everybody who chimed in, called in, and texted in the first hour. We're going to take a quick break. Flip side of the break, we'll get to the news. Out of the news, we'll get into the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll be talking sports. So keep it right where you got it. The Tuesday, August 12th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Sometimes some back and some of them are rally back. We a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. Sometimes some back and some of them are rally back. But we a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a jailhouse you come from, we sending you go back. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a Bellevue you come from, we sending you go back. Cause with them there when they get a run out. When we looking the food for the pot. Man, I'm
yo, back. Why didn't you buy this?
We have a rampacker. When we move in, we move compact. Man, we take a couple store, couple bank and shop. And police man, I talk about we at. Judge, I know we have to run left this part. Dan Dayati, dog at that. When we come dance all a rally back, some of them dance back. We are road boy out and we not left it. Some a rally back, some of them dance back. When it at the place and the place of a black ass. With them there when Kingston run out. When we look in the food for we pot. Kingston with them when my sub get. Kingston with them when Kappa get. Kingston with them when a bird get. Man a Kingston with them when a cow get.
duck and when him lick down flatter. Natty Morgan lick down flat. Jungle man Spanglery, my man did hotter. And the uptown man them did hotter.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM.
Now spit it all, top dog, slip it to crew. Man called Tony Kett, man called Robert, and while apart to ride and show. Curfew! Sometimes some back and some of them are rally back. We a road boy, you and we no take back no chat. Sometimes some back and some of them are rally back. But we a road boy, you and we no take back no chat.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by Burger King, City of Hope, Epic Battery, Fine Threads, John's Department Store, KFC, Muffler World, Naughty Johnny's, Prince Masters, Sandcastle Bahamas, and Tropical Gyros.
When we move in, we move compact. Man, we take a couple store, couple bank and shopper. And police man, I talk about we hotter. Judge, I know we have to run left this spotter. Than the yachted dog at the data. When we come dance, all of a block. Mr. Summer rally back, and some of them dance back. We are road boy.
We're out on the Tuesday, August 12th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. We're into the 5 o'clock hour. 5:06 p.m. is the time. And we got to set it off like we do each and every time when we talk in sports in the 5 o'clock hour with Today in Sports History. All brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's. All right. And on this day, August 12th, in sports history, a lot of things happened. 1879, the first National Archery Association tournament took place in Chicago, Illinois. Mantle set a Major League Baseball record when he hit home runs from both the left and right sides of the plate in the same game. 1969, the Boston Celtics were sold for $6 million. To date, it was the highest paid price for a pro basketball team. Well, at that time, it was. Obviously, you know, that's chump change right now in today's NBA. 1973, Jack Nicklaus won his 14th major golf title. The win broke the record that had been held by Bobby Jones for 50 years. 1986, Rod Carew became the first player in the history of the California Angels franchise to have his uniform number 29 retired. Rod Carew is one of the best hitters I've ever seen. 1994, Major League Baseball players went on strike rather than allow team owners to limit their salaries. The strike lasted for 232 days. As a result, the World Series was wiped out for the first time in 90 years. 2016, Katie Ledecky won the 200-meter, 400-meter, and 800-meter freestyle at the same Olympics. She was the first to win all three at the same Olympics since Debbie Myers in 1968. Sports quote of the day: the principle is competing against yourself. It's about self-improvement, about being better than you were the day before. Steve Young. Steve Young was pretty good in his time. Couldn't beat my Cowboys. Couldn't beat Aikman and the crew. But hey, it is what it is. Still a good one. Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Naughty, how you doing?
Hey, what's great?
I just need to do a correction. Oh, don't worry about the airport, but the airport will be built after the next election for Grand Bahama. And it's just a shame we have to wait that long, but I'm sure once the FNM lays out its platform, people will begin to see the strategy for building the necessary resources to get those 15,000 people per week onto Grand Bahama so that the airport could become a viable project. Now, but I want to speak more specifically to this concept that people keep talking about all we need to do to solve our problem is address number 7 within the Constitution of the Bahamas. Just let me read what it says. 7-1. A person born in the Bahamas after the 9th of July, 1973, neither of whose parents is a citizen of the Bahamas, shall be entitled upon making application on attaining the age of 18 years or within 12 months thereafter, in such a manner as may be prescribed to be registered as a citizen of the Bahamas. This is not a right to apply. This is a right to be entitled to be registered as citizenship. This is non-debatable. Now, that's where it ends. If the person fails to make application between the age of 18 and 19, then they are no longer entitled to be registered as a citizen. Then other aspect comes into play, such as the rules for regular naturalization process that may have in place. Because the number 2 says any application for registration under this article shall be subject to such exceptions or qualifications as may be described in the interest of national security or public policy. The problem is that because we have not taken opportunity to read and understand this, that we can set rules for citizenship within our country, because number 12 of the Constitution also gives us that right. You notice that if you're born to needy parents, you're only guaranteed citizenship if you make application and meet the requirements between the age of 18 and 19. There's no other rule to say I made it the day after or I made it the day before. You must meet the rules 100% without no exception. Now, the fact that we may have other rules for registering people, right? I hate when we hear this thing that we need to regularize people. Regularization does not mean that you have to give citizenship. We could make people permanent residency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And even if the person leaves the Bahamas, we have rules that you have to have a certain amount of registry, even for number 7-1 now, of having to reside in the Bahamas. I'm not too sure. I think it's 6 years before all these other different things. So this automatic thing where people keep calling, it conflates and convolutes the conversation, and all we have to do is address everything already in law. And I'm sure the incoming administration that will have the constitutionalists around who sit and have a discussion can read it. And I invite people to read this for themselves and see what it says. And so what we do is we need to stop giving away citizenship as a means of regularization. Permanent residency gives you every right of a citizen except for two: the right to vote and the right to transfer citizenship to another. If you in my country needing and demanding a right to vote or the right to give other citizenship, then you and I can have a discussion. But if you want to follow the rules and laws and regulations for abiding in the country, that's having your own residence, paying your taxes, following the law, breaking no rules and law, then we have no problem. Thank you so much.
All right, Z Allen. Always good to hear from you. All right, we get right back to sports. Let's slide right into the home court, all brought to you, of course, by Burger King Nassau. And let's check out some of the headlines. The Bahamas to compete at the 2025 World Surfing Games. Gardner loses father in tragic accident. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Stephen Gardner and his family. About a week after competing at home at the Nationals and a week before traveling to the area regional championships, Bahamian former world and Olympic champion Stephen Gardner Jr. has been struck with a tragedy with the loss of his father, Stephen Gardner Sr. According to police reports, officers responded to a collision involving two vehicles on the SC Boodle Highway in central Abaco shortly before 11:15 p.m. on Sunday, August 10th. It was said that one of the vehicles was traveling in the easterly direction when it collided with a metal utility pole directly in front of the Treasure Key International Airport. Two men were trapped inside the vehicle and appeared unresponsive. Medical personnel visited the scene and reported no signs of life. Both individuals. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Steve. Very tragic situation there. And like I said, you know, may God grant it the peace and comfort through this most difficult time. Relay team set national records in Paraguay. And Travis Munning signs with Coverain Granada. It's the dream globally, you know? And let's get back to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hello?
Talking Heads.
Yes, hey, Naughty, I would like to give my deepest condolences to Stephen Gardner and the Gardner family at the loss of his father. That's regrettable, that loss.
Very tragic situation.
Life on the street of Abaco. And with respect to baseball, of course, you know, Rodney Rodgeru was, in my opinion, the greatest in terms of his ability to hit.
I'll put him top five for sure, but I could throw five names actually that we could argue right now real quick.
Right, well, you could put Ted Williams, listen, Tony Gwynn was awesome. I'm talking about these persons who won.
Now you can't say Tony Gwynn if you don't say George Brett.
I'm talking about consecutive batting titles. Rod Carew went seven all alone. Tony Gwynn went five.
But you got to look at George Brett, who won five, and he's the only man to win it in three different decades, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Then you look at Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn had a whole plethora of batting titles in a row. And don't forget Paul Molitor and Wade Boggs as well.
That's why I said, I'm not saying that you can't make the argument, but I just letting you know that, like many other people don't know, who Rodney Carew really was. And so I just wanted to drive home that point. Now, notwithstanding, you know that we hardly had a Triple Crown winner in baseball for quite some time. And I remember the Carl Exclusive. the Boston Red Sox catcher. He won a triple crown. Not too many people done that, all right? And when you're talking about baseball, you're talking about the last person I know from that lot of Braves to win, to hit four home runs in a baseball game, okay? So let's get it right now. You're talking to a baseball encyclopedia here.
Yeah, well, Mr. Encyclopedia, you made a little error because you say we haven't seen a triple crown run in recent memory. We had the last one in 2012, which was Miguel Cabrera, Big Miggy. 330 batting average, 44 home runs, and 139 runs batted in.
Come again with that.
That's Miguel Cabrera of the Tigers in 2012, won the triple crown.
Yeah, I didn't say that was the most recent. You know, I just dig down in memory bank and just.
But you mentioned Carl Yastrzemski. Carl Yastrzemski was a good one for the Red Sox. That's a Red Sox legend right there.
Yeah, well, he had to be good. Remember, in 41, he was the only person who was able to beat out Joe DiMaggio for the MVP. Just remember, people got to know it was Ted Williams about his 405.
Right, but I'm talking post-Ted Williams. As far as Red Sox law, you call Carl Yastrzemski, he was another good one.
Yeah, the closest person to Ted Williams' batting was George Brett, 390. Okay.
I know, George Brett earlier. He didn't, he was over 400 for most of the season, cooled off the last 3 weeks and ended up at 390.
Yeah, but he batted 390. George Brett batted 390.
Correct. And that's when he won the batting title in 1980. Don't forget, he won in 77, 80, and then he later won in 91 with a 332 average.
And my Yankees have a first baseman by that has somewhat fall off the cliff. People hardly think about him, but we had a first baseman who had 149 RBIs. Don Mattingly. People don't
talking about Don Mattingly. Yeah, nobody forgets Don Mattingly in Yankee Yard. Mattingly's still there.
I said his name is not often mentioned.
Mattingly should be mentioned.
I just go down into my encyclopedia, and this is all from the brain. This ain't no looking at no book.
No, I know. Now let me ask you this question: since you're talking Yankees, right?
But you know, I satisfied with our performance at present.
No, but listen, all I want us to do is tread water and get on a little run and make the playoffs. Once we make the playoffs, we should be okay.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens because our payroll is substantially high, $320 million. When you take everything in account, we should not be fighting for third place.
And considering we spend, like you say, we should be in contention for the amount that we spend.
Yeah, we should never be there.
Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe it's time for Boone to go.
You stuck the word right out of my mouth. Sometimes that your voice become irrelevant, and I think that's what is happening right now.
Yeah, maybe they need a little young, fiery manager like how when he brought Torrey in, you know?
We need another skipper. That's what we need.
Torrey wasn't young, but I mean, he was seasoned and he'd been around. He'd been in the broadcast booth. It was a different change. Maybe they.
That's the first time you heard me say that, but I'm serious about that.
It might be time for Booney to hit the showers for sure.
Yeah, we gotta call it the way it is.
Especially for the amount of money we pay him, man.
All right.
Good stuff as always, man. Good to hear from you. Yeah, Yankee Nation, we got to win some games. We got to string a few together. We got to worry about the wild card situation right now, one step at a time. Can't put the cart before the horse. Can't assume anything, not the way we've been playing. I mean, we've had games won, and we've thrown them away. Pitching has been our undoing for sure. So we got to look at the standings right now in the American League. Yankees 6 games back at Toronto in the American League. He's in third place. Boston 4.5 back, so the Yankees are a game and a half out of second. And then if you look at the wild card situation, the Yankees are there in contention with the wild card all bunched up. Seattle, Boston, New York, Cleveland, and Texas to an extent as well. Kansas City 4 games back in the wild card, so you never know. But the Yankees need to string a few together, get some wins, put some separation between them and the other contenders for the wild card. Toronto. But I didn't see the Toronto Blue Jays being 69 and 50 at this junction of the year. I really didn't see that happening. Detroit, 69 and 51 over there in the Central, leads the Central. And Houston leads the West, 67 and 52. If you look at the National League, Philadelphia leads the National League East, 69 and 49, six-game lead. Milwaukee, 74 and 44. Who would have seen Milwaukee shoot out to 74 and 44, best record in baseball? Six-and-a-half-game lead over the Cubs. Dodgers, 68 and 51. Only a game lead over San Diego. So a lot of important baseball left to play between now and the end of the year. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see, you know, if the right trades were made, if the right moves were made, and what changes that will come for next season, because some people are going to be heartbroken they don't make the playoffs this year. And my Yankees right now, if they don't get a move on, might be in that category. All right, let's get the first break out of the way. On the flip side of the break, we'll be back. Lines will be open. We'll continue talking sports right here on the August 12th, Tuesday, August 12th edition of Talking Heads, which continues right after this.
Curfew! Sometimes I back a some of them a rally back. We a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. Sometimes I back a some of them a rally back. But we a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. And can't defend that. If a jailhouse you come from, we sending you go back. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a Bellevue you come from,
long day? Hungry crew? Say less and satisfy everyone with KFC's Summer Buckets. Grab a super summer bucket and get 8 juicy pieces of fried chicken, 8 nuggets, corn, our new white rice with gravy, 4 buttery biscuits, 4 switch of pink lemonades, and 4 dessert biscuits. So whether it's on the beach, at home, or chilling with the crew, KFC Summer Buckets starting at just $20 bring all the flavor. Summer with KFC, it's finger licking good.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Looking for tech solutions without the hassle? Since 1941, The Armory Company has been the Bahamas' trusted tech partner. From access control and cloud video surveillance to smart home setups and laptop repairs, we handle it all. Need a repair? We've got you covered, no matter where you bought it. Can't find what you need? Call us at 397-1600 for a custom solution. Visit us at Lackey Street with delivery to all Family Islands. The Armory Company, where your tech problems meet their match.
Craving something bold, fresh, and unforgettable? Tropical Gyros is your flavor-packed escape, a Carib-Greek fusion born right here in Nassau. From juicy grilled salmon, chicken, and pork gyros to loaded bowls, fresh salads, wings, and more, there's something for every craving. Find Tropical Gyros at any of their locations, JFK Plaza, Rosetta Street, Port Lucaya Freeport, or their franchise spots on Prince Charles Drive, Soldier Road West, Delaporte, and Carmichael Road. Tropical Gyros, not just good food, it's an experience.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty, only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Now special dedication to all dogs of dogs, dedicated to all top dogs, liberty crew. Man called Tony Kip, man called Robert, and while apart to riding show. Curfew! Sometimes I back a some of them a rally back. We a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. Sometimes I back a some of them a rally back. But we a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a jailhouse you come from, we sending you go back. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a Bellevue you come from, we sending you go back. Cause with them there when they get a run out. When we look in the food for the pot. Man, I'm
yo, back. Why didn't you buy this?
We have a rampart. When we move in, we move compact. Man, we take a couple store, couple bank and shop. And police man, I talk about we art. Judge, I know we have to run left this part. Dan Dayati, dog at Sadat. When we come dance, all of a block. Mr. Summer rally back as my road boy, you're down with all the fake.
And some a rally back and some of them dance back. When it at the place and the place of a black ass.
Welcome back at you on the Tuesday, August 12th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. 5:25 p.m. is the time. And we got to talk about a couple of things, man. And I listen, you Kansas City Chiefs fans out there, you better watch it. This could be either a very good thing or this could be a very bad thing for you all. But slowly tucked away at the bottom of the news wire, Taylor Swift set to appear on Jason and Travis Kelce's New Heights podcast. But there's more. After Jason and Travis Kelce's New Heights show stirred the pot Monday morning with a teaser post complete with a Taylor Swift-shaped silhouette, it was confirmed that the pop star will appear on the next episode, which releases Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday's episode will mark her first time joining the Kelce brothers on their show, and the singer's appearance is already generating unprecedented hype. A countdown clock set to expire Tuesday at 12:12 a.m. appeared on Swift's website Monday. In a teaser on New Heights Instagram, when the countdown expired, Swift revealed the title of a new album, The Life of a Showgirl. So obviously, it's publicity stunt to push a new album and ham it up with a boyfriend. But does this mean that America's going to jump wagon again and get caught up and the Kansas City indirectly is going to ride that wave? Or are people really soured now on this whole Taylor Swift situation? And is it going to be backlash? We'll see. We'll definitely got to keep an eye on that for sure. All right? As a matter of fact, now the questions are coming up. How long will the Kansas City Chiefs dynasty reign over the AFC? Is it going to be another momentum swing, you know, one more run with the Swifties on board, or is it coming to an end? Tom Pelissero had a look at it, and here's his latest contribution via the Rich Eisen Show and the NFL Network. Kansas City fans, I want to hear from you. Is your dynasty solid, or is your Camelot crumbling? Let's check out Tom Pelissero.
We've gone from that Travis Kelce, again, cool guy, good-looking guy at that point, to this from GQ. That's a transformation. Let's bring the snake one up real quick, too, because the snake, this is the one that really gets me.
I should recreate these photos.
That might be the hair I'm going for, too. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. So Travis Kelce, we said Greg Olson on talking about Kelce, and I've heard some of the same stuff, that this is a motivated Travis Kelce, that in terms of the type of shape he's in, where at times it looks like he was almost heavy, he's kind of pacing himself, that he's looked good through the course of this offseason here. But it's funny, I think a day before the GQ shoot drops, Andy Reid was talking about distractedness.
Well, you know, you understand, because there were so many close games. But that's the National Football League. So I was proud of the guys and how they handled those. And when it's all said and done, it's winning the game. Mm. And we have winners, and they figured it out. And so I was proud of them for that. And we don't listen to all the noise. I mean, you know, if you do that, you're going to go crazy. Then you're not going to have fun, right?
But you don't use the noise?
I don't care about that.
That's why I love
just
you.
Go, let's go win the game.
And the thing about noise is, this isn't bad noise. The Chiefs have had plenty of bad noise surrounding them, various run-ins legally and injuries and things. Travis Kelce playing dress-up? Not all bad. Now, there's inevitably going to be people who look at just everything here. Going all the way back over the last couple of years and just say, was anything related to, you know, conditioning or the play? The fact that he's in the highest profile relationship maybe in the world right now.
Yeah.
But it also might just be he's getting older. Nobody's sustaining that level of play at that stage in life. And if he does come out and have that type of year, he'll be defying a lot. Now, this is also a Chiefs team that found ways last year. And I've said many times, and I will continue to say, Patrick Mahomes may be the greatest player we've ever seen. I believe he's the greatest player I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I know that, Brockman, you're going to chime in with the guy who won 7 Super Bowls, which is a completely fair argument.
That guy.
But the things that we see Patrick Mahomes do, the way that he lifts everybody consistently, the freaky stuff that he can do. Tom was the most ruthlessly efficient player I think we've ever seen, certainly that I've ever seen, just in terms of the way that he could dissect things, just the level of just everyday commitment to my brain, and I'm going to be the smartest person who's ever played the game, and I know exactly how we're going to do this, and all the little nuances and things that they were able to do that came from effectively being in one offense for 20 plus years. Patrick Mahomes has one of the greatest offensive minds of all time in Andy Reid, who certainly has helped him along. Tom Brady had Bill Belichick there for a long time too, who taught him everything there was to know about defenses. But with Mahomes, you watch this. Remember, Tom went through a stretch of a decade where he did not win a Super Bowl. And they had some good teams, but there was a long window there from the 04 to 14 seasons, I believe it was, where he did not win a Super Bowl. We've already seen Mahomes, of course, put several trophies in the case. Now the question becomes here, as you're getting to that new stage with the Kelces, as Chris Jones is getting older, still playing at a high level, but getting older, they've done a good job being proactive, moving on from guys like Tyreek Hill and winning a couple of Super Bowls after they traded away one of the most dynamic weapons in the NFL.
But their offenses look drastically different without Tyreek Hill.
Well, you're thinking, and this part worked, they got the draft capital and they got the cap space to completely remodel their defense and to a degree their offensive line. What you're also betting on is, hey, we're going to draft and sign all these receivers, and they as a collective will be able to elevate them. That's hard to do when they're all hurt. Mm-hmm. When every one of them, Rashee suffered a major injury last year. Mm-hmm. You had, you know, Xavier Worthy, who they drafted in the first round last year, a little bit banged up. Hollywood was out for almost the entire season. You've had Juju Smith-Schuster coming and going. You're trying to find some consistency. One of the things they were most excited about going into this offseason, from what I was told, was, hey, we've at least got kind of the same guys back. Well, once again, some of them have not been on the field. Then you throw on top of it the possibility, if not probability, of a Rashee Rice suspension. You have some of the same concerns, which is where you're hoping, if you get the best Travis Kelce, maybe this time don't save it for January. We could use you in September.
So very interesting take right there on the Chiefs this year. I wonder how it's going to pan out for him. Is it the last hurrah for Kelce? Do they fire one more up and make another Super Bowl run? Do they win another Super Bowl? They got some good young pieces, but they're getting long in the tooth in other areas. So we definitely got to keep an eye out on the Chiefs. But with Andy Reid, I think they'll always be in contention. But I think the AFC's improved a lot. I think Buffalo, Baltimore, they're going to be the two contenders that are going to, you know, have to be heard. They've made improvements as well. And obviously, if both Lamar Jackson and Jared Allen want to get over that hump, they got to beat the Chiefs. They got to beat Mahomes in the playoffs when it counts. Strike the text lines. Naughty, my brother, I hate to tell you, but the Yankees are out of the run this season. So sorry. But they keep playing the way they keep playing. You might be right, Dexter. Hey, Naughty, you think Rodgers will hold up in Pittsburgh this season? I don't know. If the O-line protects him, he might be able to hold up, but he's long in the tooth, so he could be injury-prone. Coming off an Achilles only 2 years ago, depending on the offense they run, if they protect him with a running game and quick sets to the tight end, and using both of their tight ends and their receivers, they got a remade receiving core. Let's see what DK Metcalf can do. If Rodgers stays healthy, he'll be able to get the job done for Pittsburgh. But the real question is, can he stay healthy? And is his heart really in it? So you got to keep your eye on all of that. But I don't think Tomlin would be going to war if he didn't think he was a viable option. So we'll keep an eye on it. How is Jazz looking this season? Well, let's have a gander at Jazz's stats. Jazz been playing well for the Yankees, made an all-star, so obviously, you know, he's having a good year, so excuse me, so far. But if you want to look at it statistically, then let's have a gander at what Jazz is doing at the plate this year. They won yesterday 6-2. All right. And if you look at Jazz performance yesterday, Jazz went 1-for-3, which was a home run. That's his 20th of the year in the eighth inning. And he's hitting 238 for the season. which, like I said, you don't really put faith in batting averages anymore in Major League Baseball. He had his 52nd RBI. So he's a key contributor in the Yankees offense. So all things considered, statistically across the league, Jazz is definitely in the conversation for one of the better second basemen in the league, deservedly an all-star. And let's see if he and the rest of the Yankees could get hot and either make this wild card or creep into the playoffs. If not, it's going to be a long season in the Bronx. I'll tell you that right now. All right, let me get to my picks real quick. Because like I said, we got a great final 15 today with Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright. They're discussing the top 25 QBs in the NFL. The NFL released their list of top 25 QBs. And yeah, it's very interesting. Some are placed like Kyler Murray. But then again, I don't want to spoil it for you. Listen, now this coming up is a great final 15. And then, of course, you know, we could talk about it tomorrow. Let me know what your take is in the 5 o'clock hour on that QB ranking, courtesy of Colin Cowherd and Nick Wright. All right, I guess they can't talk about LeBron right now, so they can talk about quarterbacks. All right, so let's jump into the picks right now. And my picks come to you today from the WNBA. You got two big games on tap tonight in the WNBA. And we're going to have a look at them. Because now, you know, playoff ramifications are drawing nigh, especially in the WNBA. You got the Dallas Wings against the Indiana Fever. Dallas 8-24, the Fever 18-14. I like the Indiana Fever with the money line. I think a 9-point spread is too much, but I do like them to win the game. So give me the Indiana Fever and the money line. You got the New York Liberty and the Los Angeles Sparks. This should be a good game. This should be a very tight game. I'm going to take the Liberty and the money line only because Jonquel is back. Sparks still playing very competitive basketball. They could win this game outright, but I'm going to roll with the New York Liberty. I think they're a little more healthier and they're rounded into shape and they're a defending champion. So give me the Liberty, excuse me, the money line over the Los Angeles Sparks in LA tonight. And some interesting games of note in Major League Baseball. You got the Phillies and the Reds. I like the Phillies to win that one. You got the Yankees and the Twins. I'm going to roll with the Yankees in this one. Rondon on the mound tonight. So let's see if he can get that win against the Twins. And you got the Tigers against the White Sox. I like the Tigers to win that one. But some other interesting games tonight later on. Boston and Houston, that should be a really good game. As well as the Padres and the Giants. So a full top of baseball on tonight. WNBA on tonight. Lots for you guys to watch. And we can discuss some of these results tomorrow. Obviously, tomorrow is Wednesday. We'll be getting you ready for Thursday. And that means it's only three more for the NFL season start. Excuse me. Let me check this last text. Excuse me. Yeah, I think the Padres could sneak the Dodgers, Texter. Depends on how many times they play each other between now and the end of the year. But with that being said, I'm going to get to the break. Flip side of the break, Rich Eisen and Nick Wright taking us home. For everybody who chimed in, texted and called in, good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Talking Heads.
Sometimes a back of some of them a rally back. We a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. Sometimes a back of some of them a rally back. But we a road boy, you tell we no take back no chat. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a jailhouse you come from, we sending you go back. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a Bellevue you come from, we sending you go back. Cause with them there you when they get a run hot. When we look in the food for the pot. Man, I'm
yo, DJ, back. Why didn't you buy this?
We have a ramp up.
When it comes to burgers and flavor, you already know he's the king. And he's the king of crunch, the master of flavor. And he's gonna set your taste buds on fire. I'm talking about the new King Crunch sandwiches at Burger King Nassau. No cap on this one. Crispy fried onions, pepper jack cheese, and a bold chipotle sauce. Can't forget about the fixings that cover that crispy chicken patty. And if you love your beef patties, two flame grilled beef patties on BK's new King Crunch sandwiches. They're bigger, they're better, and bolder than the other guys. But hurry, they're only at Burger King Nassau for a limited time. So try one today.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need.
More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Now let me see now. 326-ETIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckett Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill, and Fire Trail is too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the family island.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence high. Violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
Well, text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call. Masters, bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Now special dedication to all dogs of dogs. Dedicated to Tony Kip, man called Robert and Wild Apache riding show. Curfew! Sometimes I back, some of them are rally back. We a road boy, you tell me no take back, no chat. Sometimes I back, some of them are rally back. But we a road boy, you tell me no take back, no chat. You full of big chat and can't defend that. If a jailhouse you come from...
All right, with that, Nick Wright. First things first, weekdays at 3 Eastern on FS1. So I'm in a weird space with Shedeur Sanders. So...
Oh, okay, good.
You know, so it'd be very easy to be a troll and marginalize me, but I liked him coming out of college. Then I thought he was way too immature with Legendary and the speeding tickets. Unserious, really bothered me. And then I watched them Friday and I'm like, stop saying he's not athletic enough. He is more athletic than all but about 10 guys in the league. He is fine. And so now I'm stuck. I did not like, I like the traits, but I said yesterday, yeah. If your traits aren't Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, then you better be good at the other stuff, the other 30, 35%. Years ago, you said something very smart. You said the NBA, you don't have to be a great defensive player because offense is 70% of the league. You shouldn't be hardened and be atrocious. Same thing here. Traits are 70% of the league, but you have to do some film study. Like, you can't be like, so I am back and forth on Shedeur. But I loved how he played Friday, and then he drove me crazy because he goes after a local radio guy, and I'm like...
Oh, see, so I didn't... So here's the deal. I actually think you and I were in a similar spot on Shedeur, and the Browns have given us an out, and then I'll get to the radio guy part.
Okay.
So I think you and I both, before the draft, said there's a very real chance he's... Like, people were talking about... Shedeur versus Cam Ward at 1. Should Giants take him in the top 5? And then it moved to should Pittsburgh trade up to 10 or 11 if he's there? And I think you and I were two of the few people that said he might be there for Pittsburgh if they don't move at all, if they just stay where they are at the in the 20s in round one, that we thought as a prospect, he was a late round one, round two player. And so we weren't as high on him as some, but I don't think any of us thought he was going to fall the way he did. So there's right. that part of it. Then I don't think you or I loved him as a starting quarterback his rookie year in the NFL. But when he ends up on a team with the oldest quarterback in the league in Joe Flacco, with Kenny Pickett, who is not an NFL quarterback, and in fact, when you have Mike Sando on in an hour, ask him about Kenny Pickett maybe being the first player in the history of his tiers to be in his own tier. Tier five this year for Sando was just Kenny Pickett. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen. He has no friends. He has no roommates. He has nothing. He's out there all by himself. And then Dylan Gabriel, who, you know, looks eye to eye with Kyler Murray, literally. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, Shador might be a good option in this specific quarterback room because yes. Flacco is not playing all 17. Pickett's not a starter. And you watch as much college football as anybody. Nobody watched Oregon last year and was like, that kid, that's a franchise NFL quarterback. So you then add to it that I think Shador played quite well under somewhat adverse circumstances in week one of the preseason. And you have the recipe for a fifth round pick starting the season as the backup quarterback for the quarterback most likely. So that part of it, I don't think that's in conflict with your previous opinions. There's 28 teams in the league where Shador would not be in a quarterback battle. He's on one of the three or four where he is and where he might end up moving up enough to where he's the eventual starter. There's that. Now, the Tony Grossi thing, Colin. Listen, I know it has been years since you had to go in locker rooms. And it's been some time since I went in locker rooms. But we know that is not uncommon. The athlete going up to the loudmouth radio guy and being like, hey, what I do to you? I remember 12 years ago, I don't know, I guess 15 years ago, being in the Chiefs locker room and Matt Cassel saying to anyone who would listen in my vicinity, hey, does anybody like this guy? He sure seems to talk a lot of S to everyone, doesn't he? Like, that's pretty common. And so, and let me add one other thing about the end of that. And this is just a reality of life. Never underestimate the power of charisma or a great smile. Like, that Tony Grossi Shador interaction reads not great, but when you watch it and Shador hits you with the 5,000 watt smile and the laugh at the end, it seems like it's okay. So I had no problem with that. The walk in with the boombox and the staff, I maybe could have done without, but I also did just turn 40, so I'm becoming a curmudgeonly old man like you. But I thought he played well.
Yeah, he was fun to watch. So I said, almost everybody played this week. Burrow, Tua, everybody but Tom Brady played this weekend. And Caleb Williams didn't. And my take was, standalone, Bears, Dolphins, Ben Johnson's like, you know, it's like when tech companies come out with a new product and they say, you know what, we're going to delay it. It's going to be revolutionary, but you know, we just want to tighten it up. It means the engineering staff's a little behind. My take is, Caleb is creating a little bit of drama where it's like, listen, do we want another 9 days or 7 days getting crushed? He's not quite there. We're asking him to do stuff under center. And it was strategic in not playing him, not that he got a bunch of good snaps against the Dolphins. What's your take on that?
I think you have swung the pendulum a little too far on the Caleb stuff, if I'm being honest. I think you are a little too pessimistic at this point after admittedly you and I were both probably a little too optimistic last year.
All right.
But if I were running an NFL team, I would simply say, hey, What does Andy Reid do in preseason and training camp? Yeah, I'll do that. Because the Chiefs start every year off sharp and ready, and he plays his guys, and Mahomes is out there first preseason game, and they have tough practices. But the second best, in my opinion, coach in football, Sean McVay, does the opposite. So there clearly isn't just one way to go about it. I would be more critical of this if it weren't for the fact it also should be noted the entirety of the Bears' starting offensive line sat. Their starting running back, tight end, and their top three wide receivers sat. So, of course, Caleb is going to sit. Now, he does need to play probably more snaps now in week two than he otherwise would have. And is this Ben Johnson protecting Caleb and protecting himself? Is this Ben Johnson simply saying, yeah, we're not exactly where I want us to be yet, but I think there's no harm in waiting an extra week? I'll tell you this much. Like, everybody loves Drake May, even though you can't find the stat, the number, the game where Drake May was better than Caleb last year. Drake May got five passes in week one. One of them was backwards over his head to the other team. Nobody cares. And so, like, is it good or bad that Caleb didn't have that moment? I'm not sure. But I think I do think it will be a little rocky early as this transition takes place. But I think by Thanksgiving, Colin, Caleb, I believe, is going to look like the player that you and I both believed he would be.
Well, I hope so. So the quarterback, Mike Sando's on in an hour, and I love it. It's an annual survey. I said yesterday, I woke up and I saw it, and it was like, oh, it's like Christmas present in August. It's great. I love it. Did you have anything in the tiers, because you do your own tiers, anything that jumped out to you as a revelation? Or I thought Bo Nix was a little low. I thought Aaron was a little high at this point. I think if you asked GMs, who would you take today, Aaron or Bo Nix, they would take Bo Nix for a lot of reasons. One, he's just in his athletic prime. But it didn't bother me. But was there anything here that jumped out to you?
Well, first of all, just because you opened the door there, I heard you tease in the previous segment that there's going to be an adjustment tomorrow, is it?
Yes.
To your preseason predictions.
Yes.
And then you revealed that a Charger injury, Rashawn Slater. And so when I was like, and at first I was like, oh, okay, good. Colin, who had every single defending division champion repeating except for the Chiefs, is now going to use their injury as a reason to elevate the Chiefs. Why do I have a terrible sinking feeling that somehow the Rashawn Slater injury is going to lead to Bo Nix and your beloved Sean Payton going from third to first in the AFC West?
It is.
Somehow Rashawn Slater gets hurt and the Broncos go to first place. I saw that train storming down the tracks. I was like, that's what's happening here. All right, so sorry. No, spoiler alert, I haven't seen the list, but I know that's what's happening. I just know it. All right, now to the list. I thought the list was really good. Now, I am higher on Stafford than most, but not than NFL GMs and front office people, because I think he's the fifth best quarterback in football. Obviously, the three or four people that had Josh Allen or Lamar as tier two are just out of their mind. Like, that to me is not a viable opinion. Unless people are arguing Mahomes is in a tier by himself, which they should, but they're not, then Allen and Lamar have to be there with Burrow in tier one.
Yeah.
I know there was a lot of consternation about Jalen Hurts' ranking. I would have Jalen Hurts ahead of Justin Herbert. I would rather have Jalen Hurts than Jared Goff. But aside from that, like, I don't have a problem with Jalen Hurts being high tier two. I also think it should be noted, people are awful quiet these days. You know who we don't hear from so much anymore these days, Colin?
What?
The Brock Purdy truthers. They were chirping at you and me for quite a while. And now he's hanging on for dear life in tier two, about to drop to tier three when this thing comes out next year, and you don't hear from him as much anymore. I thought this quarterback tiers was, I thought they were really well done, as they typically are. Josh Allen's the second best quarterback in football. But, you know, 47 people voted him tier one, 50 voted Joe Burrow. It's such a small margin, I don't really have a problem with it. I think this is a pretty fair reading of the league. I agreed with you. I think Aaron was a touch high. I also thought Kyler. I thought fit the top of tier three are two quarterbacks that I just don't really believe in Kyler and Aaron. So I wouldn't have them quite as high. I think Geno's a little disrespected. And listen, I understand. Nobody's ready for Mac Jones 2.0, Bo Nix, to take the league by storm. I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, you know, by the way, the Brock Purdy thing, and this is going to really bother J-Mac, but I said when Dak, as a fourth rounder, came in and the Cowboys had Zeke, who was the best back in the league, the best offensive line, an offensive coach, the division was kind of wonky, they could spend money because they were paying Dak. Yeah, they were three. And then the more they relied on him. Well, if you go to Brock Purdy's first year as a full-time starter, he had four Pro Bowlers on offense. Now their receiving core in this camp is a mess. And in his last 15 games, as the team got old, brittle, is losing defensive players, meaning they're in more shootouts. Do you know what Brock Purdy is in his last 15 games? He's 6-9, and they just paid him. So my take is, what Brock Purdy is going through, not only the last 15 games, but in this camp where all his receivers are gone or hurt, is that's the real NFL, not of Dak's rookie year or Brock's first 2 years.
Of course. And by the way, listen, some of these, the Brock Purdy folks are not going to be reasoned with. And I've said this before, but I will say it again. This is essentially a six-year-long how do you view football war that started with Jimmy Garoppolo, but objectively was not that good. And some people were like, nope, he's a winner. He's got it. And there were those of us who were like, I actually think with that coaching and that talent and that scheme, you could throw almost anyone in there and they would be successful. And those folks were like, no, you can't. And by the way, how would you ever prove that? And then they put in literally the last player picked in the draft and added Christian McCaffrey. And instead of those folks being like, oh, yeah, the talent, the scheme, and the coaching, they're like, nope, that guy's a superstar. And then those of us were like, no, he has this amazing team around him. And they said, well, how do you know he wouldn't do it if he didn't have that team around him? And then last year, he didn't have it around him. They won six games. And they're like, nope, Brock Purdy's still great. Like, he's fine. He's overachieved for his draft status. I'm happy for him and his family. He got paid. But anybody that watches the NFL and thinks he is a force multiplier or he is a substantially, you know, that he is unfairly ranked at the 14, 15, 16 range, they're not open to the evidence that keeps pouring in year after year or game after game.
I will give you credit, though. The fact that you were able to sniff out Bo Nix going.
I know it. Of course. I was shocked when I saw you didn't have the Broncos in the playoffs. I'm like, I know Uncle Colin. One of the things I know is around this time of year, he loves him some Sean Payton, loves him some you know, how impressive is it really to go to seven straight conference title games and win three and go to three straight Super Bowls? Like, well, we see that all the time. And now, do I wish you had this type of energy for J.P. Losman and the Bills circa 2009? Sure I do. But listen, everybody can't be the 2024 Denver Broncos who went 0-7 against AFC playoff teams, but now they're a real threat because have you seen Cortland Sutton? I mean, it's the silliest thing I've ever heard, but I'm glad you're now going to join the chorus on it. And I still, please explain tomorrow how Rashawn Slater's injury.